Welcome to Groffdale again this morning. As a leadership team, we sometimes get news of events or activities or conferences or seminars or things, and they come to us, and then we decide how we put them out to the congregation, whether we just make a little announcement or whether we really get behind it. And so one of the things that was brought to our attention this past week was a conference that is happening at Metzler Mennonite Church. So my dad had talked to me about it, and I had talked with Tom and Joyce and Jen about it, and we said, hey, let's put this out here. So there's a men's conference at Metzler Mennonite Church on February 23rd and 24th. So it is three weekends from today. So it's Friday evening and then Saturday during the day going into mid-afternoon. It's a men's conference talking about leadership, how to be a leader in your workplace, how to be a leader in your family, how to be a leader in your marriage. And so this is something that I want to encourage anybody to let me know if you have any interest in this. I will be attending this. So if you have any interest, any questions, come to me, and I can get you some information about that. And if you want to go, I can help you get signed up for that. So just wanted to put that little plug out there. So today is February 4th. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and this is the first Super Bowl Sunday that I've ever preached on. So I thought it would be appropriate to at least acknowledge that it is Super Bowl Sunday, and at least acknowledge that there is a game tonight between the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. And I don't follow football real closely. I don't know stats. I don't know players. I watch every once in a while, but I don't follow football real closely. But this week, I found out that Tom Brady is 40 years old, which surprised me. And supposedly, he hopes to keep playing until he's 45, which surprised me even more. So with having such a lengthy career in the NFL, he has acquired some records. He's broken some records, and he holds some titles to his name, some of them including 187 regular season wins by a starting quarterback. And again, as I quote these, I just look these up somewhere. I don't actually follow football that much. So if any of them are wrong or you want to dispute any of them, you can talk in the after the service. So he has 14 division titles, 34 playoff games started, 25 playoff wins, 63 playoff touchdown passes, over 9,000 playoff passing yards, 7 Super Bowl appearances, 5 Super Bowl wins, 4 Super Bowl MVPs, 15 Super Bowl touchdown passes, and over 2,000 Super Bowl passing yards. I'm not saying I like him, and I'll let you know I'm rooting for the Eagles tonight, and I hope the Eagles win. But like him or not, you have to recognize that he has some stats to his name. In the realm of football, Tom Brady definitely has some bragging rights. And each of us, in certain areas of life, may have a little right to boast, a little right to be proud. And for the Apostle Paul, it was his righteousness. In Philippians 3, just before the section that was read, Paul begins to boast, saying that if anybody has reason to put confidence in their works in regards to righteousness, if anybody has reason to put confidence in their flesh, Paul certainly does. He says from the very beginning of his life, from the eighth day of his life, he was following the law of Moses, the law of God. He was circumcised following the tradition and the law of Moses. Not only that, but he's an Israelite, so part of the chosen people of God. More than that, he's from the tribe of Benjamin, which was the tribe that was given the honor and the privilege of serving the Lord. It was the only tribe that stood with Jerusalem and Judah when the nation of Israel split, and it was one of the two tribes to recover from exile. Beyond that, he says he is a Hebrew of Hebrews. So his father was a Hebrew, his mother was a Hebrew, tracing back through his lineage, through his ancestry, Hebrew, 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 Hebrew. There was no Gentile influence. So Paul had a more pure Hebrew background than Jesus did. He continues on saying, in regards to the law, as far as studying the law and knowing the law, he's like, I'm a Pharisee. My dad was a Pharisee. I was taught by the one of the best Pharisee teachers. I know the law. I know the ins and outs of it. As far as my dedication to God, as far as my passion, as far as my zeal for the Lord, I am so dedicated and so passionate about God that I persecute, put in jail, and kill those who oppose God. Beyond that, in regards to righteousness by the law, Paul offered the sacrifices at the right times. He went to the festivals. He observed the traditions. He studied the scriptures. He lived by the purity laws. He obeyed, and he was faultless. That's quite a resume that he got there. And so Paul had all the reason in the world to put confidence in this spiritual resume that he had had. He filled every section. He exceeded every requirement, and he checked all the boxes. Paul had it going for him. And what does he say after he lists this great list of achievements? What does he say after he goes through his spiritual resume? He says, I got it. I got it in the bag. I'm really proud of this. It's a great list. Ready to turn this resume over to Jesus and show him how much I've done? No. He says, but whatever regains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul had this great spiritual resume, this incredible list for boasting. But what Paul used to consider beneficial and to his advantage, he now considers loss for the sake of Christ. Paul recognizes that whatever he may have considered an addition to his religious life before now doesn't count for anything when it comes to the relationship with Christ. How many of you have ever played the game of Rook? All right, so if you play the game of Rook, you know that some cards are counters and some cards are not. Some cards count for points, some cards don't count for points. And you know how to use your cards to get the cards that count for points. What Paul's saying is, he goes, all the cards I'm holding in my hand, they're not counters. They don't count for anything. I consider them a loss. Paul continues by saying, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So not only are Paul's Jewish privileges a loss, not only are Paul's, you know, his spiritual resume, not only is that a loss, but everything he counts as loss in comparison to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. It is for the sake of Christ Jesus that Paul gives up his comfort. He gives up his rights. He gives up his privileges. He lays them all down. In 2 Corinthians, he says, 5 times I was beaten with the 40 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've constantly been on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. This is everything that he's gone through. He's given up all of his rights. He's given up everything for Christ. In Acts 20, when Paul is on his way towards Rome, and he meets with some of the believers, some of the Ephesian elders, and they're talking with him and discouraging him from going because he may lose his life, he says, I count my life worth nothing. My only aim is to complete the task that has been set before me by Christ. All of this, he counts nothing. He sets aside his legalistic claim to righteousness. He sets aside his ancestry, his title, his reputation, his national affiliations. He sets aside his finances, his comfort, his health, his life, everything. He sets it aside. He lays it all down. He counts it all as nothing. And why? Why does Paul count this all as nothing? Paul says, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes. The power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to resurrection from the dead. It was the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus that motivated Paul to consider his former boasting rights as nothing. Paul recognized that not only were his former boasting rights nothing, but that holding on to them would be detrimental and would interfere with his relationship with Christ. To hold on to one, to consider one as gain, would be to lose the other. We are found in Christ through faith, not by righteousness that comes from our works, but the righteousness of Christ. Our relationship with God, being in right standing with God, Paul says, does not come from our righteousness by the law. It does not come from our works, but it comes through faith in Christ. And through that, we are found in him. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells two little stories to give an example of what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a great treasure in a field. And when the man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. The man who had found the treasure in the field would not have obtained that treasure had he not let go of all that he had and sold it all. The pearl merchant would not have gained the pearl had he not sold everything to purchase the pearl. And Paul recognizes that he would not gain this knowledge of Christ and this relationship with Christ through faith in Christ if he had not let go of his own righteousness and his own claims to moral rightness with God. In the same way, if we hold on to our righteousness that comes from obeying the law, it will hinder us from knowing Christ and being found in him. These two stand in opposition to each other. Throughout this passage, you see the gain and the loss. To count his righteousness as a gain would be to lose this relationship with Christ. But to count his righteousness and everything else a loss would be to gain the surpassing worth of knowledge of Christ. Paul describes his righteousness as garbage. He says, I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. He says they're trash. They're rubbish. The word that he uses here is for anything that is worthless and detestable. This word is specifically used for animal manure. So he's saying, not only is it just like, I don't want it anymore, but it's like, I'm going to stay away from that. And so why would we hold dearly to that which has no value and is detestable? Paul calls these things garbage. As an illustration of this, I have a trash can. And at the end of your benches, there are pieces of paper. And we're going to do a little exercise here. And on your pieces of paper, you can pass them down the line. If you don't have enough, check with the bench in front of you or the bench behind you. On your piece of paper, I want you to write down your claims to righteousness that comes from obeying the law. So using this piece of paper, think about your claims to righteousness. Think about your church attendance. If you've been pretty faultless in your church attendance, put that down. Think about the Ten Commandments. If you haven't murdered anyone, maybe you put that one down. If you've kept this commandment and that commandment, write it down. If you come from a long line of Christians in the way that Paul came from a long line of Hebrews, write it down. If you've always been diligent and dedicated to studying the Scriptures, write it down. If you've served in the church, if you've been a Sunday school teacher, or helped out in this committee, or served in that way, write it down. If you've tithed all your life and honored God with your finances down to the last detail, write it down. Any claim that you have to your righteousness based on your works, write it down. These things do not make us righteous. They are nothing. They are garbage in comparison to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus and being found in him. Having a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So we're going to bring them forward and put them in this trash can as a signal of these things, which could be a claim to my own righteousness. I consider nothing. I consider garbage in comparison to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. So we're gonna play a song and listen to the song. It's "In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found." It's not my own righteousness my hope is found. It's not in my good works my hope is found, but in Christ alone, my hope is found. So the song is going to play. While the song plays, you can continue to fill out your list. You can continue to write down your claims to righteousness, your good works, the things you've done to earn your righteousness. And then you bring them forward and consider them lost. Consider them garbage for the sake of Christ. Jim Elliot, a missionary to Ecuador, to the native people, who ended up losing his life in an attempt to share the gospel with them, once wrote in his journal, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. We lay down our claims to righteousness, which comes through the law. We cannot keep it. And we gain the great treasure, the pearl of great price, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ." As I close here, I want to share about a word that stuck out to me from this passage. As I was studying, Paul talks about knowing Christ. He talks about the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And later he says, yes, I want to know Christ. He uses two different words for know. The first one is this academic knowledge of religious thing. He says, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, to know about Christ, to know who Christ is, to know about salvation. The second word he uses is to feel, to experience, to know. This is the word that is used when in the Bible it says, "And Adam knew Eve, and Eve bore Abel." This intimate relationship. Paul says, I don't just want to know Christ theoretically, but I want to experience him, to know him, to have an intimate relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul says, for that, I consider all this as nothing. And may we do the same.